Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Monday, April 22nd, and here's what's driving the day. Now, if the House has cleared the $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, we'll be watching to see if any other House Republicans join the effort to try to oust Speaker Mike Johnson, or if that movement dissipates over the House's week off this week. In the Senate, meanwhile, the upper chamber will take up the supplemental package tomorrow, when two procedural votes have been set for 1 p.m. Assuming there are no last-minute glitches, the bill should be on Joe Biden's desk by tomorrow evening. The Senate passed an earlier version of the supplemental with 70 votes. You can be sure, as soon as Biden signs it, that the Pentagon will be rushing military aid to Ukraine. Finally, it is a big week in Trump legal news. Today, opening arguments are expected to begin this morning in Manhattan in the hush money case. To dig into what to expect today in Manhattan, we're going to bring in senior legal affairs reporter Josh Gerstein. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, Ryan. Great to chat.
So you have a great piece out about Bragg's attempt to rebrand the Trump hush money case as election interference. Tell us about the piece.
Well, I mean, I think it's a really critical aspect of the trial in two different ways. One is how the trial goes over with the jury, and the second one is how it goes over with the public. And I think, you know, if people get the idea that this is a trial that is primarily about how Donald Trump tried to respond to and cover up allegations of sexual impropriety, I think there's a good chance that prosecutors will have difficulty getting a conviction of Trump at this trial in New York. And then from a broader perspective, you know, I think if the trial is interpreted as primarily a trial about the legality of Trump covering up alleged sexual affairs with two women, even on the eve of a presidential election in 2016, the impact of it with the public is going to be limited, and it might even be counterproductive. And that's what I try to look at in this piece.
All right. So let's just there's a lot to unpack there. But on the latter point, on the politics, what's the argument that it will be limited?
Well, you know, there are four criminal cases pending against Donald Trump. Two of them effectively charge him with involvement in stealing the 2020 presidential election, or attempting to steal the 2020 presidential election. One of them charges him with very, very serious crimes of intentionally withholding and hanging on to classified information and obstructing justice in connection with all the top secret documents that were stored down at Mar-a-Lago and were not immediately turned over to investigators when they were demanded with a grand jury subpoena. Those are three very serious cases. Those are not the issues that Donald Trump is going on trial for first, and he may never go on trial for those, or he may never go on trial for them before the election. And so we're kind of left with this trial in New York on the issue of hush money that was paid before the 2016 election to two women who were alleging that they'd had affairs with Trump, and sort of a, you know, what I would call a rubber band and chewing gum kind of prosecution that tries to tie that together with some election laws and some New York business laws and make that into a series of 34 felonies.
Your piece, you look to history in telling this story this morning, and there are two pieces of history, one about John Edwards and one about Bill Clinton. Tell us the parallels that you think are important in those two cases.
Well, Ryan, I guess I'm dating myself, but I lived through both of these experiences personally.
Same.
You know, I'm going to go through it chronologically. So I came to Washington in 1991. And of course, Clinton's impeachment was perhaps the most significant epochal event of that period. It seemed, as it began, super serious and important and weighty. But as it went on, the general public developed the idea that maybe it wasn't all that significant. And, you know, I remember being at the White House when it looked like this affair that Clinton had had with a White House intern, and his efforts to sort of keep it quiet might well drive him from office. But sort of over time, it looked less and less that way, to the point where, you know, Clinton was almost able to make political hay and advantage out of it. And, you know, I think a big part of that explanation comes in the words that one of the people who defended him at his Senate trial, Dale Bumpers, used to sort of try to minimize the case.
And I think actually we have that famous line from Bumpers, so let's actually listen to it.
H.L. Mencken said one time, when you hear somebody say, this is not about money, it's about money. And when you hear somebody say, this is not about sex, it's about sex.
Bill Clinton, Josh, at the end of the day, and I know you know what I'm going to ask here, he admitted that he had sex with that intern. Donald Trump has still not copped to the fact that he had a relationship with either of these women. How much does that matter for this theory to pay off?
I mean, I think it matters somewhat, but I do think that the public has sort of, as they did with Clinton, like come to terms with what transpired here. What's kind of fascinating to me about this trial is that for Trump, is that I don't think there's going to be a big factual fight about what happened. It seems pretty clear that money was paid to these two women. In one case, it kind of went through or was paid out by the National Enquirer. In the other case, paid more directly by Trump's then fixer lawyer, Michael Cohen. You're right. There's still some dispute about, you know, Trump says that he didn't have affairs with these women. But, you know, I think the public sort of doesn't believe him about that. But as with so many other things with Trump, it hasn't caused a large percentage of his supporters to give up on supporting him.
All right, let's talk about the John Edwards case, because this one's a little more complicated, but very important as a precedent. What should we remember about that?
Right. So this is another, just to bring it all back to me, Ryan, this is another big chunk of my life, about 2 months that I spent in Greensboro, North Carolina, covering John Edwards' trial. And it's very parallel to some of the allegations against Trump. You had money that was paid, something close to $1 million, by a couple of supporters of Edwards at the height of the campaign in 2008 to basically set up a woman who had an affair with Edwards and then had become pregnant and was on the verge of having a child, to set her up in a home in North Carolina. And then eventually, believe it or not, as the campaign was playing out, they were flying her to different places in the country to fancy hotels in an effort to keep this whole episode quiet. The justice system kind of ground through this over a period of years. And eventually he was indicted for basically conspiring with his supporters to receive something on the order of $1 million campaign donation in the form of the money spent to move this woman around the country and pay her medical bills. And this went to trial in North Carolina. And, you know, eventually the jury, when they heard this case, they didn't think much of it, and they ended up basically hung on most of the charges. They acquitted Edwards on one charge. It later came out that the jury was split something on the order of 10 to 2 in favor of Edwards. And it raised many of the same questions.
Excellent preview of a big, big week. Thanks a lot.
Happy to do it, Ryan. Take care.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out, and President Biden will visit Triangle, Virginia this afternoon. He'll deliver remarks commemorating Earth Day. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.